All right, well, today we continue our verse-by-verse study. In the book of Psalms, we come to Psalm 31, and we begin our study in verse 19. Psalm 31, verse 19, Lord, we ask that you would sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. In Jesus' name, amen. David writes, Oh, how great is your goodness, which you have laid up for those who fear you, which you have wrought for those who trust in you before the sons of men. God stores up good for those who fear him, who respect him. And that's a real good thing to remember if you are ever persecuted for doing what is right. God remembers your faithfulness. 20. You shall hide them in the secret of your presence from the pride of man. You shall keep them secretly in a pavilion from the strife of tongues. In other words, we are safe because God is with us. Jesus said, "Fear not those who can kill only the body." And that may happen. But God preserves his people in that no one can touch our souls. And that's the most important thing. Our souls belong to God, who, by the way, will put that soul in our resurrected body someday. Verse 21. Blessed be the Lord, for he has shown me his marvelous kindness in a strong city. So he is blessing God for God's kindness. You know, it sometimes doesn't click how much good God has shown us. It sometimes doesn't click how much God cares for us until he allows bad times and then delivers us from those bad times. Close calls often generate thank yous to God and appreciation for God. 22, for I said in my haste, I am cut off from before your eyes. Nevertheless, you heard the voice of my supplication when I cried unto you. He said, I said in my haste, I'm cut off. Fear sometimes causes people to be hasty and to say unbiblical things to God in their prayers, things that just are not true. Fortunately, God doesn't hold those things against us. And he still helps us when the time is right. 23. Oh, love the Lord, all you his saints, for the Lord preserves the faithful and plentifully rewards the proud doer. God protects those who are loyal to him. He punishes those who are too proud to be loyal to him. So he deals with the prideful, he deals with the humble. And those are two real good reasons to stay close to God, stay humble, and to obey him. 24, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart, all you that hope in the Lord. Be of good courage. In other words, never give up. Never give up on God. Never quit trusting God. Never lose hope that the word of God is true. Be strong, trust his faithfulness. Even if you die having not received his promises, you will receive them. Because the Lord can be trusted and his word is true. Psalm 32, blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. None of us are able to work our way to eternal life. We understand that. None of us are good enough to get into heaven on our own. The best that any of us can hope for is to have all of our sins washed away by Christ, which is why he says, blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputes not iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile. He did not say, blessed is the person who's good enough to get into heaven. Blessed is the person whose good works outweigh his bad works. No, he says, blessed is the person whose sin the Lord doesn't count against him. Again, the best that we can possibly hope for as sinners is to not have our sins, which we have all committed, count against us. 3. When I kept silence, my bones became old through my roaring all the day long. When a Christian refuses to confess, when they refuse to confess their sin, they will be miserable like David was. Life is lousy for a sinning Christian until they get back in fellowship with Christ through confession. 4. For day and night your hand was heavy upon me. My moisture is turned into the drought of summer. God disciplines his people when they sin and do not confess. And often that discipline comes in the form of pressure. At least that's part of it. Pressure. And it's pressure that doesn't go away until the sin is dealt with properly. 5. I acknowledge my sin unto you, and mine iniquity have I not hidden. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and you forgave the iniquity of my sin. Sin, guilt, pressure, they all disappear when we humble ourselves, confess our sins to God, and ask for forgiveness through Jesus Christ, because God never says no. I'm not going to forgive you this time. 6. For this shall everyone that is godly pray unto you in a time when you may be found. Surely, in the floods of great waters, they shall not come near unto him. He's saying confession works. It gets rid of sin. And so he says, everyone, listen, do it. Confess. Do it before it's too late. Do it before judgment hits. 7. You are my hiding place. You shall preserve me from trouble. You shall compass me about with songs of deliverance. When we receive Christ and confess our sins, God is no longer the enemy. Instead, he becomes our shelter. Christ Jesus keeps us safe. There is no hell for Christians, because God saves his people. 8. I will instruct you and teach you in the way which you shall go. I will guide you with mine eye. There's a promise from God. You know, there is a place for biblical counselors, I believe, who use the Bible and help others. I believe that. But still, nothing is better than you and God one-on-one. God will counsel you. He will show you what's right. He will show you what changes to make. If you persevere in prayer and fill yourself with his word, he'll guide you. There may not be flashing neon signs or bells and whistles, but he will be guiding you by his spirit. Verse 9. Be ye not like the horse, or like the mule, that have no understanding, whose mouth must be held in with bit and bridle, lest they come near unto you. Horses and mules must be yanked here and there in order to stay on track. They'll constantly be yanking them. But God says, don't be like a horse and a mule. God has to push and shove and yank and pull when his people stray also. And that gets old after a while. It's just better to stay in touch with God and do right away. 10. Many sorrows shall be to the wicked, but he that trusts in the Lord, mercy shall compass him about. People who live in rebellion against God have a lot of trouble. If there's happiness there, their happiness is fleeting. And their troubles are multiplying. Behind the scenes, maybe, but nevertheless, They are multiplying, and they are there, ready to explode when God lights the fuse. 11. Be glad in the Lord, and rejoice, ye righteous, and shout for joy, all you that are upright in heart. You know, here's a side of God that you probably don't think about very often. He commands his people to be glad. Thou shalt be glad, in essence, is what he's saying. Thou shalt rejoice. Thou shalt shout for joy. God is saying, rejoice, and that's an order. And only obedience to God can put us in a position to do that. You can't possibly rejoice as one of God's people. You can't possibly shout for joy as one of God's people unless you're walking in obedience to God without any unconfessed sin in your life. Psalm 33. Rejoice in the Lord, all you righteous, for praise is befitting to the upright. There's a time for quiet reverence, but it is also okay to let loose and praise God as well, because God loves it. If you love God, then your praise is a beautiful thing to Him. 2. Praise the Lord with the harp. Sing unto Him with the psaltery and an instrument of 10 strings. God is saying, use some instruments to enliven your praise. So we see that God likes music when it's played unto Him as well. 3. Sing unto Him a new song. Play skillfully with a loud noise. In other words, invent some new songs for me, God is saying. You know, write some songs for me. But make sure you play them skillfully. Not that we all have to sing like Pavarotti. Or play an instrument like whoever. Some famous, skilled violinist or pianist. It's not that. It's just that God does deserve our very best, and whatever we do, like the Bible says, we must do wholeheartedly as unto the Lord. He deserves our best effort, if nothing else. Verse 4. For the word of the Lord is right, and all his works are done in truth. Like that verse. The word of the Lord is right. Means righteous. Means true. And along with that, it means normal and natural. The word of God is right and true and normal and natural. God's word instructs us in what is normal and natural. Then you have the flip side, which would be sin. You know, sin is unnatural. It's like trying to shove a round peg in a square hole. That's why the result of sin is always trouble. It's just unnatural. 5. He loves righteousness and justice. The earth is full of the goodness of the Lord. The earth is full of the goodness of the Lord. And it really is. God has jam-packed this world with all sorts of good things for us to enjoy. Simple little things that don't cost any money. 6. By the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the host of them by the breath of his mouth. All the multiplied trillions of stars popped into the emptiness of space when God commanded it to happen. 7. He gathers the waters of the sea together as a heap. He lays up the depth in storehouses. God is the one who puts the oceans where they're supposed to be. God is the one who keeps the oceans where they are supposed to be. Someone says, oh no, we're in trouble. Global warming is going to melt the ice caps and the oceans are going to flood the coastlines. Not without God's permission. It won't happen. 8. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of Him. When we come to God, it should be with awe. When we come to God, it should be on our knees. When we talk to Him, it should be with our heads bowed. And somebody might ask, why? Well, verse 9 gives us the why. For He spoke, and it was done. He commanded, and it stood fast. When God spoke, the world began. There was no world until God ordered it to appear. Now that's a God who should be feared and respected and obeyed. Verse 10, the Lord brings the counsel of the nations to naught. He makes the devices of the people of no effect. All of Satan's power plays to defeat God fail. Ultimately, they fail. And you could bring all the ungodly of the world, you could join them all together, and they couldn't stop the will of God from prevailing. Trying to beat God is like trying to put out a volcano with a squirt gun. You don't have a chance. It's just not going to happen. Never going to happen. Verse 11. The counsel of the Lord stands forever, the thoughts of his heart to all generations. The world is God's project, and he has big plans for it. It will be the way God wants it to be. So people can either get on board through Christ, or they will be moved out of the way. There is no third option. 12. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and the people whom he has chosen for his own inheritance. Government cannot legislate God out of business. You can remove the Ten Commandments from the courthouse. You can remove prayer from public school. But you cannot legislate God out of business. And by the way, government cannot make God the God of America either. You can restore prayer to public school. And you can put the Ten Commandments back in some courtrooms or whatever. And you can put, you know, the nativity scene in front of courthouses during Christmas, and that's not going to make this nation a Christian nation. Government can't do it. It is the preacher's job to teach the pure word of God. Then it's up to the people to say yes. And when that happens, that's when a nation will be blessed. 13. The Lord looks from heaven and beholds all the sons of men. From the place of his habitation, he looks upon all the inhabitants of the earth. God's vision is telescopic, microscopic, and x-ray, all rolled into one. He sees all the way from heaven. His vision is telescopic. He sees the little things we do, even the tiny little things that we do in secret. His vision is microscopic. And he sees way beyond our acts, right down into our souls. In other words, he sees down into our heart, into our motives. And so in that way, his vision is x-ray. X-ray, microscopic, telescopic. 15. He fashions their hearts individually. He considers all their works. God fashions us individually. He fashions us to be different from each other. God knows how he has made us, and he observes how we are. Now, one way we should all be the same, all Christians should be alike in moral character. But each one of us are gifted in our own unique way, with our own unique personality, the way that God has fashioned us, and that's the way he wants it to be. 16. There is no king saved by the multitude of a host. A mighty man is not delivered by much strength. The largest army in Europe could not save the old atheistic Soviet Empire. They had the biggest army by far. They had the most tanks, they had the most missiles, far and away more than NATO had in Europe. But that huge army could not save the Soviet Union. It still crumbled. It collapsed because it had no biblical foundation. Now, God may use a strong army to protect a nation, but without God's blessing, a strong military won't do the job. 17. A horse is a vain thing for safety. Neither shall he deliver any by his strength. God may choose to use someone or something to bless you, but it is God who blesses, and it is God who should be thanked. 18, behold, the eyes of the Lord. The eye of the Lord is upon those who fear him, upon those who trust in his mercy. If you fear God, you don't have to fear anything else. Say it again. If you fear God, you don't have to fear anything else because God's eyes are on you. God's watchful eye is on you. And that should produce more confidence than if you had the support of many people. So he says, behold, the eye of the Lord is upon those who fear him, upon those who hope in his mercy. Why? To deliver their soul from death and to keep them alive in famine. God's power works in partnership with his eyes. See, he doesn't watch his people for kicks. He watches us to know what he should do to take care of us. 20. Our soul waits for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. To wait for God means to patiently keep doing the right thing and to trust that he's in control of all things, good and bad, and that he is working all things for our good long term. 21. For our heart shall rejoice in him, because we have trusted in his holy name. It is a fact. When we put ourselves in God's hand and trust him, no matter what comes, we will have more joy than we can even enjoy. That's fact. For our heart shall rejoice in him, because we have trusted in his holy name. We'll have more joy than we can enjoy. The joy would be too much for us to handle in our flesh and blood body. 22. Let thy mercy, O Lord, be upon us, according as we have hoped in thee. In other words, Lord, we're dependent on you because we know how much you care about us. All right, we'll stop right there. We'll pick it up in Psalm 34 next time. Until then, Michael Moret for Scripture Verse by Verse. So long, everyone.